Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's sports station.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Hanley.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mullen Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Car ready for winter? See your CarX man. And he is the football man for the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this program and a valued friend. Big Z!
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the Bears, big winners, and you know what that means. That means that that Ryan Pace is safe for sure, and that John Fox is has already accepted his fate, but maybe his fate changes because they won a game.
Yeah, I don't know that this game's going to really change anything that happens at House Hall at the end of the season. I tend to doubt that, but hey, it's good to see young football players go out there and make football plays and a lot of plays. And that's what they had happen yesterday against the beat-up Bengals team. And you could, if you wanted to, you could take the approach that, you know, Cincinnati looked dead from the get-go, coming off the bad loss Monday night to the Steelers with their season basically shot. They had a lot of players injured. But you'd be hammering the Bears if they didn't make plays against the Bengals. So I think credit is due. Trubisky played really well. Jordan Howard had a big game. Kendall Wright got a lot of opportunities, made the most of them. They put Shaheen on the field and actually threw the ball to him. They did a nice job on A.J. Green. So across the board, pretty strong effort.
Mitch in the post game was asked about whether it's fair to say they were more aggressive on offense, and they certainly were. Maybe it was just simply because of the guys that the Bengals didn't have available, so you attacked the Cincinnati defense the best way you could. But are we going to see more of an open offense in these final three games? You know, as much as John Fox says that Mitch Trubisky doesn't make the same mistake twice, you would think you would make an argument, no matter who the Lions have available or not, you would allow him to do more of these final three games.
Well, I know this. They were able to run the ball with great success against the Detroit Lions in the last meeting. So I expect the Bears to go into Saturday's game at Ford Field with the idea of being able to pound the football with Jordan Howard. If they're able to run the ball with success, you would naturally think that that would lead to play-action opportunities and passes down the field, which is what they executed against the Bengals. They had some success running the ball early on, and it kind of opened everything up. The middle of the field was open for throws. Trubisky took some shots down the sideline. Didn't necessarily hit those, but you got to try them. You got to keep them honest. And Bobby Massey, the right tackle, told me after the game that after they were able to move the ball in big chunks on that opening drive, they felt like they were going to be able to put up all the yardage in the world. It was just going to be a matter of converting in the red zone to really have success, and ultimately they were able to get that done.
This segment with Brad Biggs brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. And Biggsy, can we say now, if they're that performance, can we say that that Shaheen should be and is their number one guy? I mean, don't they need to play the young guys, and don't you need to see him do everything that a tight end does in order to help his growth and make a decision on what you need in the offseason?
Well, yeah, and they had him. I mean, he got, I think it was about 29 snaps. It was close to 30 snaps in the ballgame. So actually, it might have been over 30. I'd have to look at it again. But he was out there.
32.
And 32, okay. Took a few plays probably from Sims, but maybe, I guess. What they weren't in as much this week was that third down package where they've got Daniel Brown out there with three wide receivers and Benny Cunningham, and they weren't in that because they weren't trailing, because they were having success running the football. So Shaheen's out there more. And, I think I've mentioned this before, you know, one of the issues is he's been out there, but they haven't thrown him the football. He came into the game, guys, with 9 targets through 12 games. He got 5
Crazy.
Targets yesterday.
Yeah, that's
and,
nuts.
And you know, looked good over the middle of the field. So, yeah, I think I would assume we will see a little bit more of him moving forward to give him a base and a foundation to move into year 2.
You know, Jordan Howard mentioned that, he said he was running violently again, but he mentioned the shoulder. And does that mean the shoulder is getting better, or is that just something he's going to have to play with for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, I think that right shoulder issue for Jordan Howard's probably a year-long deal, and he's just probably every running back in the league has got something that is his year-long injury, and he's probably got a half-year injury as well. You know, that's just the nature of the position. But yeah, I think that we talked about it last week. He looked like he was running a little tentatively, especially along the boundary against the 49ers, and ran through some tackles yesterday. The Bengals did not look real interested in trying to bring him to the ground, and it added up to a big game for him. And then they were able to get enough carries for Tariq Cohen, for the rookie, to get 80 yards rushing. Guys, this is the fourth time this season the Bears have rushed for over 200 yards in a game, and you've got to go back more than 25 years to find a season in which the Bears put together 4 200-yard games on the ground.
Brad, when you look at Kendall Wright with a huge game and obviously also swearing on the pregame with Zach, no, I'm just kidding. He also said after the game that the receiving corps calls himself 7-Eleven because they're
always open.
Okay, wait a minute.
Talk about drunk on victory.
I mean, the flip side of that is you go to 7-Eleven and the only thing you get is really junk, right? I mean, there's nothing high-priced.
Oh, careful now. They might be a sponsor. Yeah, okay, they're a sponsor. You can get a lot of good stuff at any hour from a 7-Eleven. Always good. Let me ask you this, though. Kendall Wright, how did he fall behind Josh Bellamy to begin with? Where was Inman in that game? He started the game. I didn't see him.
Yeah, Inman had like 68. 70, yeah, 68 snaps. I don't think he was targeted, but
he was not targeted once. And is Marcus Wheaton on the roster? Is he still on the roster?
He still gets paid.
They get paid Thursdays, guys. So he definitely shows up on Thursdays.
I'm just saying, I don't know what's going on with the receiving corps.
No,
I don't know.
I mean, let's talk about Wright, though. Wright was targeted 11 times combined in the previous three games. In the previous three games. Goes out there yesterday, 11 targets, 10 grabs. As I said earlier, you know, everything was open over the middle, and he took advantage of that. And, you know, he's a guy who was a former first-round pick, who signs a prove-it deal with the Bears for base value of $2 million, with the goal being to have a nice year and set himself up to get a better contract than a one-year deal. And the numbers, quite frankly, haven't been there. It was going to be dicey if he was even going to get to 500 yards on the season before yesterday. In fact, if you did the math, he was on track to come up at like 493 yards or so. But with a big game yesterday, the first 100-yard game for a Bears receiver this season, he's within spinning distance of 500 now, so he'll get there. But, you know, he hasn't opened his mouth this year. You haven't heard him complaining. And how often do you hear wide receivers in the National Football League let everyone know that they're not getting the ball enough? And he's been a pro about it. and I think that's probably helped out the young quarterback along the way.
Does Ryan Pace take advantage of the feel-good and show up and go in front of the microphones in the next day or two? I know the answer. I just wondered. It would be disingenuous if he did, by the way.
No, he hasn't done that in the past. He's not going to do that now. And you know, they're busy and should remain busy trying to figure out what they're going to do with this roster moving into the offseason. They were busy last week with college scouting meetings, getting ready for the postseason All-Star game. So they've got an awful lot of heavy lifting to do. You know, one of the things they kind of keep wrapping their arms around is this idea that the young players are getting a lot of snaps, and that's true. But you could say that the past couple of years about the Bears up at House Hall, and
sure,
I'm not sure how much it's meant in the long run. So a lot of those young guys were able to have some success yesterday. Now they've got a short week to get ready for the Lions, who are in a must-win situation. But the Bears could have, should have beaten them the last time they played at Soldier Field.
All right, Biggsy, thank you, buddy.
All right, guys, have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. That was the Connor Barth missed field goal that would have forced overtime. So he's right about that. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We're going to take a switch here, and we're going to head to the winter meetings, and we'll talk a little bit about the Cubs roster and what they've gotten done. And now that you have Giancarlo Stanton, does that open up the possibility of an Abreu deal, or have they made the decision to bring him back? We'll ask Bruce those questions next. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I want to talk about these Cubs and what they're doing.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670, the Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a herd of speeding turtles.
I like turtles. All right, you're great zombie.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I love you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 a Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Car ready for winter? See your Car X man. He is the Score's baseball expert. He's at the winter meetings. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. The Cubs reeled in a big one yesterday. Might not seem big to the Cubs fan base, who might not know Brandon Morrow quite as well as the National League and Major League Baseball do. But from the perspective of having a world-class arm right now and a guy that has flourished as a closer or as a bullpen man after being a starting pitcher for a long time in his career, this is a nice step forward for the Cubs.
And he's on a two-year deal, so does that mean they couldn't come to terms with Wade Davis? I know they say they're still checking in with the agent, but it looks like Wade Davis is going to get a 4 or 5 year deal at probably $14-15 million per, and Brandon Morrow is getting 2 years at $10 million per. So it seems to fit their philosophy of not paying big money to back end of the bullpen guys.
Exactly, Brian. I mean, you know, consider big time money, $10 or $11 million. Dollars committed to Morrow. You're not going to give $15 million to Davis and have $25 million committed to the back end of your bullpen. It's as important and as essential as anything on your team. But from that perspective, unless Davis comes down in years, I don't see that happening. I don't see them committing, you know, $55 or $60 million to Davis at this point. So this is the way that Epstein and Hoyer have gone. This will make a Four straight years with four different closers, and they've been pretty successful the first three.
It's interesting, Bruce, because he is the closer. Then is that? I mean, I just.
Well, he hasn't been been ordained. You know, they haven't. We haven't heard a word from the Cubs yet because until the physicals are done, we're not hearing one peep. But from the perspective of that. You know, what he does and what his stuff is all about, he has to be the closer. I mean, you have Carl Edwards Jr., who's going to be closer in training. And we saw him have two really good years and a terrific year really last year as a setup man. But you saw at the end of the year how he was worn out physically and then worn out mentally to the point where, he was just walking people and Joe was just taking him out after one hitter at the end. There's still some work to be done there, but there's a lot of upside with Carl Edwards.
So what's next? Obviously with Stanton going to the Yankees, a lot of people are connecting dots and saying, well, the Cubs are banking that money for Bryce Harper, and so, sit tight. But there's more pitching to be had here. Do they get Alex Cobb? I saw there was a report that they could be looking at Addison Reed, not a marquee deal, but add a piece to the bullpen.
Brian Reed and were two guys that they were pinpointing. And, one or the other, to go into this role. I don't know if they'll sign Reed. There's still a market out there for him, but they like him too. They'd like to add another left-handed arm to that bullpen if they can. You know, down the line here, they revisit the Britton situation with the Orioles after both the Cubs and Orioles solidify the rest of their pitching. I think, I had Dan Duquette on our show on Saturday a couple weeks ago. And he said there's really no match right now. He said, but he underlined right now because there were conversations, late in the summer about Zach Britton and him closing and being another deep bullpen guy for the Chicago Cubs. And I think that could be revisited later. So I really like the idea that after missing out here on the Japanese pitcher, that they've struck quickly and they have their ducks in order to get. A pitcher last Thursday signed for the rotation, and they're still working hard on Alex Cobb. I talked to the agent for Cobb, Dan Horowitz, last night, and he said nothing is done yet. That was his ominous way of expressing to me that they're still working on things, and there's a couple teams involved, but the Cubs are right there for him as well.
And the Cobb thing, if it's my understanding, they wanted to try to get it done over the weekend. Basically, when Ohtani wasn't coming, then they turned their attention to Cobb and they wanted to get that locked in before these winter meetings for fear that some other team would jump up. Is that accurate?
Not necessarily. I think they've been trying to get Cobb for 4 weeks. And Cobb's agent, Dan Horowitz, has been around for a long time and has a great reputation, is doing his due diligence and making sure that the three or four other teams that have interest in him help him get the very most for his player. I mean, this is a guy that had a really good year last year that has great familiarity with the manager, Joe Maddon, and the new pitching coach. With him having that knowledge and the idea there'll be a great comfort level, it's up to the agent to get the most for this guy. Now, we're thinking it's going into the four-year area at this point in time. And if it goes to four, it might be 13, 14, 15. And that's a lot of money for a guy who's probably going to be slotted in there 3-4 to go along with the rest of your rotation. So that's probably the holdup right here. But I think the Cubs are still intent on getting that done.
And there's talk that the Red Sox are interested in the slim, fast version of Kyle Schwarber. And, because they didn't get, now the Yankees have even more power. They have to respond in kind. What are the chances are that all the young guys are still on the Cubs at the end of the winter meetings, or is there a deal to be made there? Are they interested in a guy like Christian Yelich, a top-of-the-order type guy?
Yeah, I mean, you made a really good point. There is a good chance by the end of the winter meeting that all the 25-man roster guys are still intact on the Cubs. And I think they'd be really happy about that. But the only way I see now, let's say they get Cobb done. They have their rotations on. They've done some nice things here with their bullpen. They probably need another one, maybe two down the line here. But not necessarily a rush on that. Let's say that they get that done. Then if you're going to trade a Schwarber, if you're going to trade a Happ, if you're going to trade, Russell, which would be extreme at this point, you're going to get you're going for a number one pitcher, okay? You're calling out Tampa and saying, are you ever going to trade Chris Archer? Do we have to go through this every year where you tease people and you don't trade him? Are you intent on trading him now for a big bat, somebody that you can control for the next 4 years? Or are you still doing the same thing you've been doing? The only way to start trading off their 25-man roster now, I think, is for a number one pitcher.
You know, it's interesting to see Giancarlo Stanton signs with the Yankees, and that, you know, Brian mentioned Schwarber, they're an interest with the Bo Sox. They obviously have to get a power bat. The Abreu thing apparently fell through. The Sox aren't going to trade him. Could that be?
No, that's not necessarily.
Okay,
true,
well, that's what I'm asking. Could that be revitalized? Could
yeah,
Abreu
absolutely.
Now? Could we see a market for him open up with Stanton off the market?
Yes, indeed, Mike. There's no doubt about it. But the White Sox, you know, they don't have to move now. They can sit back and watch the market set itself. And teams, you know, who were the teams interested in Stanton? San Francisco,
right?
St. Louis, right? And Boston is certainly, you know, would have loved to be involved, but he wasn't on the list. Those are the teams that need slugging in their lineups. They need 3 and 4 hitters. They need first basemen. These are the teams that you keep your eye on if you're a fan right now and you're watching your Chicago White Sox and these clubs as to what they do. Does Hosmer go to the Red Sox? Does that satisfy what they need to do there? That's fine. That still leaves a couple markets open in St. Louis and San Francisco for teams that are desperate for slugging. And Abreu is the perfect guy. The White Sox, you know, as you pointed out, Mike, are not – they're not trying to push Abreu up the floor. They'd love to retain him. But if they get a great deal and somebody starts naming the right young players coming back, they will be tempted and eventually make a trade for Abreu.
All right, great stuff, Bruce. Appreciate it. We'll be talking to you a lot this week.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is our guy, Bruce Levine, and we will be talking to him quite a bit this week. And, you know, Joe, it always warms the heart to get a little of the old hot stove going.
We were waiting. Is something going to happen? Then, bam, Saturday happened.
You know, yeah.
Ohtani, Stanton, the Cubs are making more moves. So, yeah. It's that time of the year. There's going to be some interesting things going on.
And you know what? We're going to talk to Fred Mitchell next, and he'll tell us the winner of the Fred Mitchell Award. How about that? Nice to have an award named after you.
Okay.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. And we're delighted to welcome in Fred Mitchell on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Car ready for winter? See your Car X man. And Fred, of course, is the man for whom the Fred Mitchell Award is named, and the award is presented annually to the nation's top place kicker in FCS, Division II, Division III, NAIA, and NJCAA for excellence on the football field and in the community. And over 750 kickers are eligible. Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Good morning, Molly. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're excited to hear the award because God knows the Bears have a need. I don't know.
Absolutely.
In case this Mike Nugent thing doesn't work out.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know is right. There's some great kickers already in the league from the smaller colleges, including Greg Zuerlein of the Rams. Last I checked, he's got the most field goals in the NFL, 36 of 38. Patrick Murray, who won our award in 2014, is a kicker for the Tampa Bay Bucks now. So they're doing great. But as far as the 2017 winner of the Fred Mitchell Award, it's a young man named Cole Tracy from Assumption College in Worcester, Massachusetts. And Cole distinguished himself particularly this season by connecting on 27 of 29 field goals. That's 93%.
Wow.
All 67 of 67 extra points. He finished with an NCAA record, 148 points for a kicker. And you know, community service is another aspect of the award, and he distinguished himself off the field as well. So we're proud to announce that Cole Tracy from Assumption College is the winner. David Hall of the Tribune has posted a story on ChicagoTribune.com, a nice feature story about the young man. And I should also mention the Fred Mitchell Award Selection Committee Chairman Rob Perry and Chris Carney, who's the National Football Foundation chapter president in Chicago. These guys did the heavy lifting as far as tracking the candidates for this award. There's a 35-person selection committee, so there's a lot of time and effort put into looking at these young men. And as I mentioned earlier, there's so many terrific kickers at smaller colleges already in the NFL. Even, you know, before this award existed, you look at guys like Gostkowski with the Patriots, Hosta, even Adam Vinatieri. All these guys came from smaller schools. So as far as kickers are concerned, they come from everywhere.
Well, congratulations to Cole, and for a man who covered the Bears for many, many a year, Fred, did you see that kicking coming yesterday where they just took advantage of a team that had its own injury issues, and they went into Cincinnati? And what does it mean, really, in the big picture? Because, you know, some people are worried that means they'll start reconsidering keeping John Fox around, and, you know, that one game that was that impressive might change the thought process, and really, should it?
I agree. You know, I think it takes a much larger sample size here. That yesterday was a snapshot of possibilities for the Bears. The way I looked at it, they caught a Bengals team that was coming off a short week and a lot of injuries, and they were just didn't show a whole lot of life. So, you know, it's fine for the Bears to take advantage of that opportunity. That's what they're supposed to do. But certainly, we'd want to see them string together two or three more weeks like this.
You know, it's interesting, Fred, because while the Bears haven't raided the lower leagues of college football to get a kicker, they certainly have Tariq Cohen, and we saw Adam Shaheen yesterday for the first time. There are really good football players throughout the National Football League and certainly on the Bears roster that can come from a different competition. And you know, we always talk about Scottie Pippen and guys like that in the National Basketball Association, but certainly in football too, there are a ton of guys. They also have this Jordan Morgan guy that they're hiding on IR that might be an offensive lineman that could be productive for them at some point or other when he figures out the game of football in the highest level. But you know, it is just because, you know, where you play doesn't designate how well you can play.
Absolutely, you know. I think it's, you know, taken a few decades for the National Football League to really come to that realization. There was a guy named Walter Payton, I think, who came from a small school. So, yeah, you can look around. Richard Dent, a Hall of Famer from Tennessee State. A lot of these guys just want an opportunity, and oftentimes they have sort of a chip on their shoulder to feel as if they have to prove themselves. But, yes, there's great, great quality athleticism at all divisions, no question about it.
And you're now a member of the Blackhawks family, huh? And what a good week it was, desperately needed, by the way, for the Blackhawks, but took advantage of a Buffalo team, maybe worked a little harder than you needed to, but you got the job done if you're the Blackhawks, and then it was good to see Crow, you know, keeping things in order last night as well.
Absolutely, Brian. Yeah, the Blackhawks have put together a couple wins, and looks like they're going to get some things going, and I'm proud to be a newly created position as a community correspondent to talk about some of the great things the Blackhawks are doing in the community. You know, all the professional organizations in Chicago, I think, do a very good job as far as that is concerned, and the Blackhawks have really distinguished themselves with something that Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough, Jay Blunk, all these guys that I've known for many decades really make it a point to do that. And later this morning, there's going to be a ribbon cutting for the MB Ice Community Ice Arena, which is just two blocks south of the United Center. And the point of this facility is that, you know, 95% of the time, the Blackhawks will not be practicing there. So it's going to be open to the community. There's classrooms there, weight rooms, just a fabulous facility. So I would say to fans, you know, if you have an opportunity to go and look at that, I would advise it. Practices are going to be open for viewing for the community. So it's a great thing that that they're doing, and other, you know, great ventures by Jamal Mayers and Brian Campbell and all of the Blackhawks organization has really stepped up, I think.
I got to tell you, I read about this. I think they did like a media thing on Thursday or
it's
something. They brought some. I mean, this thing's unbelievable. 22 locker rooms, workout rooms, shot simulator. I mean, they and they're opening it to everybody. I mean, it's like there's tons of teams that are going to play there. $65 million privately funded facility on Jackson Boulevard. And man, I got, you know, I don't know the Stallions or the Jets or the Mission, but that's pretty awesome. I mean, that's quite a thing to do for people around there, for schools that get a chance to go in, for opponents that will be able to practice there too. So it's really quite a facility.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Rocky Wirtz is really said, you know, if we're going to do this, let's do it first class, and let's do it for the community, not just for the Blackhawks organization. And they've really, you know, invested in the entire West Side and that community and trying to improve circumstances for young people coming up. And part of my mission is to expose the game to a more diverse viewership and get people to participate in not only the sport, but just the discipline that goes behind it is so important. So it's very uplifting for everybody. So,
and you're also you're hosting Q&As for Blackhawks legends and before games. So let me know when Steve Passmore night is, and I'll be make sure I get out there for that one.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah, I had a lot of fun with that. And Dennis Savard, Bobby Hall, Adam Burrish, a lot of these great players have so many stories. And Brian, you know that particularly.
Oh, the hockey stories are unbelievable.
You know, they have this shot simulator thing. Apparently, they can light up a portion of the net where a guy has had a hard time putting the puck, so he can practice hitting a spot in order to, you know, create a little bit of other options within his game.
We need to get the power play in
there.
Can they
light the entire thing for certain players? We won't name names.
Duncan Keith? Help.
This is the goal.
Yeah, no excuses now. They've got state-of-the-art practice facility and equipment, and I'm sure they're going to take advantage of it.
Well, congratulations to Cole Tracy for winning the Fred Mitchell Award, and Fred, congratulations to you for your great career as a kicker that we've often talked about. Some say too often, but just kidding. Fred, thanks for jumping on, and thanks for sharing the Mitchell Award with us.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk about it. The biggest pleasure I get, I think, is making a phone call every year to the winner and just, right, you know, hearing the expression on their voice.
That's how cool is that?
I thought the biggest pleasure you get was when a guy rolled down a hill like a little kid for $5. All righty, Fred. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Fred.
Fred Mitchell.
The Platteville stories?
Yeah. They Platteville, at least they have like a little hill that was, you sit on top of it looking down on the practice field. And Fred, when I first got up there, Fred offered me $5 to roll down the hill. Like, there were a bunch of little kids doing it.
You had some time on your hands?
I was like, I looked at him, I'm like, $5, really? And I immediately rolled down the hill. And I'm like covered with grass for the rest of the day, you know. Was not the greatest move, but you
was
know,
that two beers at the Hoist House?
$5. Oh, yeah. That was a night at the Hoist House in those days. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.